Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and watch ourselves a show. Hello, hello, everybody. We're doing a movie review again today because I'm so excited about it. So, I have not watched the movie yet. I am doing a little intro to get into the story first and talk about backgrounds and what we know so far. And then I'll come in with another chunk after I've actually watched the movie. So I have no idea whether it's good yet. So the movie we're talking about is Red, White, and Royal Blue. It's an adaptation that just came out on Amazon Prime of a book written by Casey McQuiston that came out in 2019, I think. And it is a sort of. The reason I first found out about it or read this book was that it was linked in one of the Facebook groups I follow about Jane Austen adaptations, and it was supposed to be a sort of very loosely based adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. And I see it in there. There is some commentary, or Jane Austen is definitely mentioned in the book. It is a very, very loose adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. I'm not sure that I've seen the author or anybody actually say that. I've just heard people from the Jane Austen world claim it as a loose adaptation. It's definitely an enemies to lovers trope, so that could be why they're claiming it for Pride and Prejudice. But there are definitely some connections beyond that, I think, that sort of fit for a loose, very, very loose. It's a modern adaptation and very, very loose, more inspired by possibly Pride and Prejudice, but that is how it first came onto my radar, is that I was reading it as a Pride and Prejudice adaptation, and I ended up loving it. Though, like I said, if you're going in for a Pride and Prejudice adaptation, it is not by any means a real like adaptation of it. It would be more of an inspired by sort of vibe. But if you're going from that perspective, there's Alex, who would be the Lizzie, and then there's Henry, who would be the Darcy. And yeah, it's a really fun book. I have super enjoyed it. It is a sort of gay rom-com where the president is a woman, who is the first woman president. And so it's also a sort of, I don't know, almost political fantasy. The first time I read it was during COVID, I think. Might have been pre-COVID. I don't remember the exact timeline, but Trump was president when I read it. And it's sort of a political fantasy because in this universe, basically, we have the first female president who won and is a Democrat and who is the president right after Obama. So she beat Trump, or I don't even know if Trump is mentioned. I don't think he is. It's just she won election. And so she is the president after Obama. And so we never had Trump as president. And then so she is the president and she is a woman from Texas. So she's also the first female president. And that's where that kind of political fantasy thing comes in of, we had our first female president, which is very exciting. And so the Lizzie character would be her son, Alex. And he wants to be a politician, and he is very gung-ho and ADD and has a lot going on all the time and is very like outgoing and good with people and extroverted. And then on the other side, we have Prince Henry, who is the grandson of the Queen Mary, and he is the youngest child, I believe, so he has an older brother and an older sister, and then he's the youngest child, and he is much more introverted and quiet and just grew up in a very different world than Alex, and they culturally just don't mesh very well right off the bat. They don't get each other, and they have the same sort of thing where the first time they ever meet, well, Alex had a little bit of a crush on him, on Henry, before he ever met him because they saw like pictures of him in a magazine when he was a kid. But he also doesn't realize that he's bi yet, so he's not clear. These are all like kind of subtext in his mind. He doesn't quite know he had a crush, but he so did. And his sister knew it. He didn't know it though. But anyway, so Alex kind of has a little crush on Henry, kind of a kid's crush sort of thing. Then when he's a teenager, he meets Henry for real in, you know, at the Rio Olympics, and Henry's a jerk to him. And so he decides he hates Henry, and that he decides that he's his like arch nemesis, and they have this sort of thing going on. And it's the same, a very similar thing to like the Lizzie Darcy thing, where the first time Lizzie meets Darcy, she first really likes or thinks he's handsome and has good thoughts about him, and then he insults her, and then she hates him, and she decides he's awful, and it's that same kind of dynamic that happens there. And in Pride and Prejudice, you learn why Darcy did that, or like what was going on in Darcy's mind for why he said something so rude. And in this, you also eventually find out what Henry was thinking and why he was rude in Rio. And it was because his father had died recently, and he was just in a really bad mood all the time and didn't want to be there, and was just kind of, I think he said something like he's just was rude to everybody at that point in his life, which, I mean, as somebody whose parent has died, it's kind of fair. So anyway, they get off to a very rough start. They have arch nemesis status, and then they, you know, the story goes from there. It's enemies to lovers trope. And it's a very cute story. I strongly recommend the book. It was a lot of fun to read. And, yeah. So, probably should have said this at the beginning, but as all of my things are, there will be lots and lots of spoilers. I'm not gonna hold back on story details or plot details as we go through. So, I'm not gonna go through the entire story here of the book right now, but I will be talking about any differences I notice, as I'm sure there will be, and things like that as we get into the movie. The things I know about the movie so far is I've seen the trailer and it's very cute and I loved it. What has come out that I think is kind of interesting is I'm not sure whether Henry and Alex are both playing the ages that they were in the book. The guy who's playing Alex, I think, is like 31 and he's supposed to be like 21 in the book. So, but I don't think it really, I don't know. They think that he looks young enough that it's not like crazily gonna pull me out, but also I'm old, so maybe that's just me. I don't know, maybe if you are actually 21, you'll clock him as being way too old. Meh, for me, I don't think it'll matter. What I do think is sad is that it, I think, most of what I've heard is it doesn't seem like his sister June, who's in the book, who is sort of the Jane character, if we're going for the Pride and Prejudice analogies, it doesn't seem like she's gonna be in the movie. They have, so in the book, he has his sister June, who is the Jane, and then there is a another character, Nora, who is the granddaughter of the vice president, who is sort of in their trio of the White House trio, they call them in the book. And so those two female characters are his sort of best friends and Alex's support system. And it seems like they have cut it and put that down to just having Nora, who is the VP's granddaughter, as opposed to keeping both June and Nora. And I think I've heard a speculation that they're sort of combining those characters into just Nora. And we'll see how it works. I am trying to keep an open mind about it, but I am tend to be a stickler, and I'm sad when they kill off characters, and I really like June, so I'm sad that she's gone. So then there's Henry and his best friend, who is sort of the Bingley character, very, again, gregarious and handsome and fun and good at parties and very different from Henry. And you have the same thing that like Lizzie thinks about Darcy and Bingley, about why in the world are those two friends? That's what Alex thinks about the two of them. So there, I mean, that's what I mean. There are some definitely, I think, through lines that I would believe that this book and the story is definitely inspired by. There are character traits, there are some plot points, but it's not following the story exactly as like a true adaptation would be. It's more got some inspiration from. So anyway, there's that character gone. And they also have changed the queen to a king. And I'm wondering if time got a little ironic on them, because I feel like they probably did this when the queen was still alive, Queen Elizabeth. And they wanted to make it a little bit more separate from reality to keep those, you know, keep it clear that this is not the actual royal family. But now they do, England does have a king now because things have changed since then, but they've decided to stick with the king. So it is the king who is the grandpa in the movie as opposed to having the grandma queen. And it does seem like possibly their mom is not in, or at least the mom has not been shown up, the Henry's mother. So in the book, Henry's mother is the one that's in line to be the next queen after her mother. So she's Catherine, and then her mom, Mary. And then his dad died years ago, and he was the one who married into the royal family. So his dad is dead, and that's an important piece of, you know, kind of Henry's story and trauma, which is very well done, I think, in the book. But his mom is still alive. I am not sure from what I've seen, at least so far from what I've seen in pictures in the trailer, I haven't seen anything that looks like it would be his mom. But his mom isn't in a lot of scenes, so that could be pretty easily. So she might still be around. We'll see. I haven't seen the movie yet. But I haven't heard anything about an actor playing her or seen any pictures of her, so we'll see. The other ones that come up are the Secret Service, the bodyguards. So hopefully they are there because there are two specifically Secret Service agents that come up a lot in the book that are really great little side characters that I hope they're both there. From some of the little things that have gone on, I think one of them for sure is at least. So hopefully they both end up there, but I'm assuming both of their parts will be kind of, if they are both there, they will be cut. They might combine them into one. I could definitely see that happening. And still, the part that they play would probably be cut. There's a big important scene in the book where Henry and Alex go to a museum in London, and that is definitely there. I've seen a picture of them standing in the museum, so I'm glad because that's a great scene. I am very excited for what this movie could be. It looks like from the trailer, they're very much leaning into the comedy, which I love. I think it's going to be a great little rom-com, which the book is. I'm assuming they're going to have to cut a lot, as they always do from book adaptation. So I'm trying to go in with expectations lowered for that, and hopefully that the movie is can be its own thing and be good on its own. I will say the one thing that I am kind of nervous about is that in the book that there is a lot of time when their relationship between Henry and Alex is long distance, and so there's texts and emails where they are connecting that way, and it really works well in a book format, you know, that can work beautifully to have these text chains and to have these email chains going back and forth. But I'm not sure how well that will work in a movie format. It seems to me that that often feels cheesy when it's done in a movie. Off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of an adaptation where like letters work so beautifully. It's really, I think, hard to do and hard to get it right. So I'm nervous about how that's going to work because a lot of the most beautiful love story romantic parts of the movie really are from this play from these letters basically, or from texts and emails. And I hope we don't lose that in the movie. I hope they find some way to adapt the emails and the texts and make it work. There is a little scene where it seems like you see in the trailer Henry like closing his laptop, and you hear his voice kind of voiceover-y saying, "I'm Alex, I miss you." And so I'm assuming that that's what they're going to be doing for the texts and the emails that they have in. They're going to have some sort of voiceover thing while you see the characters on their laptop or whatever. So we'll see. I'm again reserving judgment, but I am a little nervous about that aspect of it because that can definitely be a thing that just doesn't work in movie adaptations, in my opinion, with like the texts and the emails not holding up. Though they might be able to make some of the texts into more like phone calls or something. But the emails are too long and too essay-like, I think, in a lot of cases to change into that. And I really hope we don't lose all of the fun stuff. And one of the things that's in all the emails is they have all these historic quotes, like love quotes that they have taken from historic people. And I think, again, that works beautifully in the book, but I'm not sure if that would be even something they'll try to bring into the movie. And if they did, I don't know how that would even work. I'm not sure that, I mean, I think the easiest thing is they probably just will not bring them in at all. But I hope they find some way to bring in some of those literary references that are so great in the novel itself, in a way that works. And doesn't feel forced or crazy. So that is my hope. From the trailer looked really cute. I'm very excited about it. I have very high hopes that I'm going to enjoy this movie a lot, and I'm very excited to watch it. So I'm going to take a pause now. I'm going to stop talking and rambling about my pre-movie watching thoughts. And when I come back, I will have just watched the movie and I'll see what I have to say then. So, wish me luck. Think happy thoughts that this movie's going to be great because I'm super excited. Fingers crossed. See you in a bit. And we're back. So for you guys, it's been a couple seconds. For me, it's been, about 24 hours. But I've now watched the movie. It has come out just a couple hours ago on Amazon Prime, and the credits are currently rolling on my TV, so it is very, very fresh for me. So that is my first warning, is that I've li literally watched this one time. I just finished. I have not taken time to like control or think about things too much. I'm just giving you an honest first look sort of reaction. Also, fair warning, I'm not going to be censoring anything about the plot or what happens in the movie, so there will be spoilers. It's just going to be kind of an off the cuff about the movie. I don't think I'll go into every little detail, but there will definitely be things to talk about. So, to start, I had a really good time. I found it very enjoyable. It's a nice, fluffy little rom-com that was a lot of fun. I think they caught a lot of great plot points that I really enjoyed. So that was great. I think that there was a lot of really beautiful romance in it. They got a lot of the angst. They got so much of the story right. So I'm very happy about that. And I want to start with that because now I'm going to nitpick, because that is one of my favorite activities. But I don't want you to think that just because I'm nitpicking, I didn't enjoy it. I think that just sitting back, there were a lot of things about this movie that I really, really enjoyed. I very much encourage people to go watch it. I think it was well done. There were a lot of moments that were beautiful. I overall have zero thoughts of this being a bad movie or poorly done in any way. But as I said, I will have critiques and things to say about it anyway, even though it was altogether a really fun movie. The two biggest things that are standing out for me that in my brain right now, having just watched it, kind of bothered me about this adaptation are that with Alex, they kind of cut his whole storyline about college and all of that stuff. Except for one scene where they had him in a lecture hall while he was, like, I think, texting with Henry. But the rest of the time, he's never in class. They don't do anything with his graduation. They kind of cut that whole storyline. So I'm very unclear for it just seems like, why did they even make him a student at that point? Or is he even a student? Like, why was he in that classroom that one time? Because in the book, there's a whole storyline about he's still finishing up his like senior year of college and he has graduation and all of this. And that kind of explains why he's now no longer going to school, because he had graduation and now he's spending the summer working on the campaign, right? So that all like kind of makes sense there. In this case, they completely cut all of that. Again, like I said, except for one scene where he's sitting in a classroom for some reason that I don't really understand. So it just doesn't really make a lot of sense for why they kept that scene in. I feel like whatever text was happening there, which I do not remember which text specifically, or emails or whatever were happening at that moment, should have just been I don't know, deleted, or like he should have had those texts in some other scene. There was no reason to have him in a classroom because it just, because then you completely drop it and he never goes to class again and he's not at, in school anymore and he's like spending the stuff, he's going to Texas and doing all this stuff. So like, I don't know, it just it felt weird to me to have him be in a classroom and just like this nod to he's in a college student, kind of, but only in that one little scene and it's never mentioned again. If they're going to cut the whole graduation and all of that, why even have him be a student in the first place? Right? Like I don't get why he was in a classroom for that scene. That was just something that I noted that bothered me. But again, it's a pretty minor critique, and if you didn't know that plot line was cut, I don't know if that would bother you much at all. But there was one thing, and then the other thing that I found odd is they changed the timing of Alex's speech after the letters and texts come out. So he gives this big speech about how, you know, it was about privacy and all this stuff. And he makes a speech very similar. It's not the exact same speech, but it's this, you know, same kind of idea. But the timing is different. So in this version, they have him make the speech before he ever talks to Henry. And before they've talked to, in this version, the king instead of the queen. So in the book, he goes to Henry first, and they talk, they see the queen, they kind of just figure out that they are not going to hide this, that they are going to confirm it, and all of this together before Alex ever makes that speech. In this version, Alex makes that speech first before he's talked to Henry, and that bothers me a little bit that he is going to confirm and out Henry without talking to Henry about it. I mean, Henry's already been outed by the stuff being outed, but like, I don't know. It bothers me that they made that change. I don't like that timing change. I feel much more comfortable if Alex has already talked to Henry about it and Henry is on board with the fact that Alex is making this speech to the world in general. But also, it doesn't make a lot of sense of what the king is saying, slash the queen, which is very similar to what the queen says in the book. Where when they finally meet her, she's saying, you know, these things can be faked, and we can say that this was all a hoax or whatnot to try and make us look bad. We can just can deny and move on. And the king here says very much the same kind of thing, that this is all a hoax. We can just pretend, blah, blah, blah. And in the sense in the book, that's fine. But in the movie, this is happening after Alex has already gone on like national TV and confirmed it. So what do you mean they're gonna go out and say that this is a hoax after Alex has already gone out and given like a press junket to the DC press? Like that, you can't do that. It makes no sense. And the king's not stupid. He would know that, right? Like, how are you going to claim this was all a hoax, but Alex has already gone and given a like full speech about how it's true? It's pretty unambiguous at that point. I don't know. So that bothered me. I think that that made what the king is saying makes a lot more sense if Alex hasn't made the speech yet. And also, it makes a lot more sense for Alex to make that speech after having talked to Henry and figured that out. So I really don't understand why they made that change in the timeline. Maybe for ease of something, but like, it just doesn't make sense. They should have had Henry, like, or the way it works in the book where Alex freaks out and goes to Henry right away, and then they do the whole thing with the king first, and then he comes back and makes his speech about it. I just don't understand why they didn't keep that. If they had done almost the exact same thing, like the exact same screen time, really, for the movie, but just had changed the order of that and had Alex fly home and make that speech instead of doing it before he went to see Henry, it would have worked so much better. And I'm not even saying go back to like what the book said Alex said, like keep Alex's speech from the movie, keep all of it exactly the same, just like change the freaking order of those scenes. It just would have made more sense and would have sat better with me. So I don't understand why that change was made. And it bothers me. But those are the two big things that are sticking out to me as problematic. Well, those are the two big things on that. The other thing that I'm not sure I love is that they changed the one of the major conflicts of the book from being with Richards, who's the guy running against Alex's mom for president. They pretty much cut him out. Like, he's still there. Obviously, she's running against somebody, but he is not a specific character. He doesn't have specific traits we're worried about. He's not the one who does the email leak. He's not the one who leaks all of Alex and Henry's emails. He is just kind of a non-entity who just generic Republican running against the current president. And they put all of that stuff onto a new character that they have created who is a reporter. So in the book, the Richards campaign is the one that does all of that, and it is sort of leaked by Luna, who is another congressman who's friends with Alex, and it kind of goes through there. And I get why that might be too complicated for the movie, because that is, in general, they like kind of simplified a lot of stuff for the movie format, which again sort of makes sense. And I'm not mad about most of those changes, but I'm not sure that I'm sold on that specific change of getting it to be this reporter who's doing it, as opposed to a leak from the Richards administration. That seems odd to me. So they've got, instead of having it be this political intrigue thing where the Richards campaign has done this, they make it so that this reporter, who I guess had a crush on Alex and Alex had hooked up with, or not hooked up, but I mean, depending on your definition of hooked up, but had made out with one time, and seemed to really be still into Alex and wanting to see him more. And then basically, the only motivation I get is that he is mad that Alex sort of dumps him and is interested in Henry instead. And you see him kind of notice them go off together one night at a hotel. And then it's implied that he's the one who is the leak from the White House emails and is the one who has leaked all this information. With no comeuppance or anything, but it's just kind of heavily implied that he does that. And I mean, those emails had to leak, like that's a big plot point. I guess I don't understand why it couldn't have just been Richards leaking them anyway. I don't know. And then they figure out it's him for some reason. I don't know. Maybe even the reporter is able to break the story of that Richards campaign leaked the emails instead of being the one to leak them himself. I don't know. This whole weird, like, I don't know, ex sort of, but they never were never dating. They just like kissed that one time and were sort of friendly. And then he's mad that, I don't know, they're trying to make it into like this sort of almost love triangle thing, but not really. And I don't know, it just doesn't fully work for me. I think I prefer the emails being leaked by the Richards campaign. I wish they had found a way to make that still happen. I guess they thought that this was a simpler explanation, or I don't know why they made that change, but I don't love it. I don't love that reporter character in general. He just is so skeevy the entire time. I don't like him. And I guess he turns out to be sort of the villain, so it makes sense that he's sort of skeevy. I'm assuming that's on purpose. But I don't know. I feel like you could have pretty much cut him. Like that entire thing could have been cut and they could have explained a little bit more of it. Had him maybe just come in at the end as the one who like is explaining how he found out that how they've discovered that it was the Richards campaign that leaked all these emails, so we know who did it. As opposed to having it be implied that he himself, the reporter, is the one who did it. I don't know. It doesn't. It didn't. It just doesn't work for me. That is a problematic piece as well. All right. Another weird thing I kind of noticed is that there is a scene from the book where Alex sees Henry at night while he's staying overnight at the palace before their next day of like forced friendship events together. And he gets, I think it's called Canaletto's, their ice creams. And it's a scene that people seem to really like from the book, and it's in, or a clip of it is in the trailer, where you see specifically the box of ice cream, you see them in the kitchen, and they're talking about what they're going to do the next day to like get people to think that they are friends. And it's in the trailer, but it's not in the movie that I remember seeing. I didn't notice it at the time. It was right after that part of the story is over that I realized, hey, I don't think I saw that scene. So I have not gone back to rewatch, but I'm pretty sure that scene was not in the movie that I just watched. So it's odd to me that they apparently filmed it because it's in the trailer. I saw it, but they cut it from the movie apparently, which makes me kind of sad that that was cut. And I will give you a little information here about my bias. I really feel like if you're streaming the movie, it should be as long as possible. I don't care about keeping it to like the 2 hour thing. Like, add more. So I don't know. I'm kind of sad that it seems like they filmed that and decided to delete it after having already filmed it. So that's unfortunate. All right, but after all that negative stuff, I still really enjoyed this movie. There's a lot of funny t moments. There's a lot of laugh lines. I really enjoy it. The cake scene that they start the movie with, I think really works, where they manage to like topple an entire ginormous cake onto themselves and they're covered in a ridiculous amount of buttercream frosting, and it's hilarious. I loved that scene. They play really well. The two main actors who are playing Alex and Henry play really well off each other when they're, kind of biting back and forth and hating each other when they're having to pretend to be forced friends. And even though they cut out a lot of how they become romantically involved from the book, the way that they put it into the movie instead, again, really works, and I like it. They're build up of their relationship doesn't feel forced or strange. It feels very believable, and I think it's really well done, in my opinion. They kept kind of the little story point of Zara and Sean being together. Not engaged in this version, but dating and having like a secret way to contact each other, which is a plot point that comes up at the very end of the book and is in the very end of the movie for like a couple seconds, but it works, and I like that that little Easter egg is still in there for people fans of the book, that that little nugget of information does make it into the movie. Makes me happy. They kept a polo match, which was also fun, and I thought that the way that they did some of the emails and texts worked really well. I know that's something I was talking about being very worried about, and they did cut a lot. We didn't get as much of those emails and things, which again, I understand but don't love. I mean, I get it. It would have been too much, I think, in a movie version. The movie would have been, they would have had to go into like a mini series or something for the amount of time needed to read out all those emails. So I get why they're not there. It's not practical for a 2 hour movie, but that's part of why I wish this had been a mini series and they could have done more and put in more of the details from the book. And I think that is also, but that's a critique of any movie. I was gonna say that no matter what they did. So, like, it's not really a fair critique because they set out to make a movie of 2 hours. So they were gonna have to cut these details. I just wish that they had made a slightly different project and not done that. But that's a whole nother story. So, I mean, what they kept in worked really well, in my opinion. I specifically really loved one of their, they turned one of their early chats into kind of a phone call instead, and then they would have, or some of them were texts, and one of them was at the end was a phone call, but they would have, you'd be in Alex's perspective, kind of, and then Henry would sort of show up in his world, but you could tell that he was not really there. And so Henry's saying his lines, quote unquote, like his texts or whatever. He's reading them out loud, but he's not really there. But it worked really well. I found it to be pretty innovative and not something I think I've seen all that often, and I think it really worked to make the text and things not drag, to really make it work on screen. And so I was very happy to see that, because that was something I was worried about for this book, and I think that this movie did that beautifully in a way that I was hopeful for, but not necessarily expecting. So I'm really glad they were able to make that work. And I also really liked Amy, the Secret Service agent. There were two of them, Amy and Cash, in the book. They've combined them into one character of Amy. I was expecting that. It works really well. Not a problem. They did cut June. June is gone, which makes me sad. We just had Nora, who kind of filled that whole role. Again, though, in the grand scheme of things, combining the Nora and June character into one, I do think works. The story works well that way. I'm sad, but not mad. So I understand it, but it still hurts just a little bit because I do love June. They cut the backstory of B, so they make her his younger sister instead of his older sister. I'm not sure if that's just because of the ages of the actors they decided to pick or why that choice was made, but in this version, she's the younger sister, and I mean, their relative ages doesn't really matter all that much, I guess. Except for it does make Henry slightly closer to the throne, theoretically. Well, I don't know. But yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's fine that she's younger. And they also cut out her backstory of the Powder Princess thing, of having her have. She had been a drug addict in the past. And so they cut that whole storyline, which again, for time, I'm not surprised they did it. But it does take out some of the, I guess, depth of B. B is a much shallower character, I suppose. I mean, she's still good. The actress who played her was great. It worked. They just cut out sort of the closeness of the relationship between Henry and his sister B, and some of that tightness there. Again, I think mostly for time, her part was cut, which makes sense and it works, but makes me a little sad. I thought all the actor portrayals were fabulous. The different characters, Zara, the actress who plays her, was great. That whole character of comic relief was fabulous. Pez and Nora work really well together. I love the guy who played Pez. He was fun. He was barely in it, but he was fun. Pez got cut a bunch too, which again makes a lot of sense because he's kind of a side character. They really did cut a lot to really get this story into 2 hours. But what they did cut, while I miss it, I do think most of that, what they cut, makes sense. And the story itself, other than the things I've already complained about, is done really, really well and makes a lot of sense, the cuts that were made. There was a sort of addition, I suppose, where instead of having Alex just work on the campaign in general, they have him go and head a sort of Texas campaign where he goes to stay in Texas for a while in Austin and do different voter registration drives and things to try and build up the campaign in Texas and try to win Texas, which in the book, it does, like in the movie, come down to Texas in the end. Texas, whichever way goes, Texas goes, is going to win the presidency, and his mom ends up winning Texas, and it's a great, celebration. I can talk. And so that happens, but they make it a little bit more explicit here, where that is something that Alex does behind the scenes and is talking about and is passionate about in the book, but he doesn't head a specific like Texas campaign. In the movie, they're making that more explicit and having him do that, which I actually think, especially the way they're simplifying things, it makes sense. It works in the kind of more streamlined plot line. To have him do that makes a lot of sense, and I like that they did that change. I think it really works. I love that they kept Henry wearing the yellow rose of Texas tie at the end. I thought that was a nice touch. I really loved that. The New Year's party, I think, was done very well. I love that they kept the karaoke bar. They did move it around, which again makes sense that they are kind of, again, simplifying activities. I'm sad that they didn't wear silk kimonos, that Pez didn't bring them for them. So instead of going to a karaoke bar in LA, they're going to one in Texas because they combine it with the Texas trip. And that's part of we're getting less like trips. We're getting, they have less meetups basically. They have the polo match, they have France, and then they have Texas. They have the three meetups. And there are more in the book. Again, for time, they are combining some of those trips into one, including they cut out an LA trip that they had together and are putting this together. So Pez comes to Texas, which he did not in the book. He wasn't on that trip, but he does now, and it works. It's fine. So they all go to the karaoke bar, and they have Prince Henry singing Don't Stop Me Now, which there had been a lot of debate over whether they'd get the rights to that song and be able to use it, and I'm very glad that they did because it works beautifully, and I'm so happy that scene is in. Again, the only complaint about that entire scene is that they weren't wearing silk kimonos from the book. They're like personalized that Pez brought, so I miss those kimonos, but otherwise the scene is perfection and I love it and it's great. But that also explains why B isn't there, because in the book B is there. So it's a slightly smaller group, but for filming purposes, having four people around the table instead of in the book, it would have been six. Because June is gone from the movie entirely, and B is just not at this party. That all is fine and works and whatever. The other thing that I'd heard people talking about, and I was wondering, was about the ages of the actors. Because in the book, they are very clearly like early 20s. Henry might be slightly older, more like mid 20s, but Alex is like 21. He's in his senior year of college. And the actors are, a good bit older than that. And in the movie, I think for the most part, that doesn't matter at all because it doesn't really talk about how old they are. Again, except for that one scene where they have Alex in a college classroom for no apparent reason. I don't understand why that scene is there. I think that the whole thing would have been better if they just kind of cut the entire college plot line, because leaving that one scene in just doesn't make any sense. Again, I've already complained about that, so we can be moving on. But their ages were fine. I don't think that that mattered at all in this, because they don't really talk about how old they are, so it's fine. It is what it is, and it doesn't matter at all. It works beautifully. The other thing that happened that I was sort of expecting, but I'm very happy they did it. They had Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid from MSNBC playing themselves on MSNBC, being the politician people, or not the politicians, the reporters who are talking about the campaign, and they are kind of interspersed throughout both talking about the campaign, about what's happening when the story leaks about Alex and Henry. We're seeing the media coverage a little bit of them about the story, and then we see them at the end doing the sort of coverage of the election results for the day or for the election. And I thought that it was a really fun touch to have actual like news reporters in the movie. It's hardly a new concept. Lots of movies have done this where they've had actual reporters like be in there and doing this. But I'm glad they did it. It worked for me. I really liked it. It's not the people that the book specifically mentioned, because the book mentioned specifically, I think, Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper from CNN. And that's the coverage they were talking about. They went with MSNBC anchors instead, which, I don't care. That's fine. That works beautifully for me. I just got a little kick out of seeing them. I thought that that was fun to give it a little, I don't know, using actual like TV anchors who you would see doing this sort of coverage and using their normal like reporter voices and stuff, I think really works in these sorts of situations, gives it a feeling of verisimilitude. It's a word I learned from the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. Verisimilitude. Darcy uses it. But this idea of giving it this feeling of reality, even though it's fake. And I really enjoyed that. So that was a nice touch. I'm glad they got actual reporters in, and that is, for example, a change. It doesn't really matter that it's the specific ones that were named in the book, as far as having people report on it. And the one thing that I feel like they didn't hard home on enough, they kind of did. They did talk about it, but I missed that there was a, in the book, there's a podcast that is sometimes listed where they talk about these things, and the podcast host is very explicit about how the, like, private sexual preferences of the president's son have no implication on the politics, and should, and that, like, the fact that this has been revealed, you know, going into, like, the kind of the ethics of this being revealed and how bad it is, and that was cut. There was a little thing of Joy Reid sort of trying to interview the reporter dude who is implied leaked the emails, and she's the one kind of doing the implications of, like, did you know that this was going to happen? Were you part of this? So there's a little bit of that pushback, but it is nowhere near as direct and explicit as it is in the book, where it's really talking about the fact that this was not cool, that this was not okay, that this is not acceptable politics to be doing this, meaning to be releasing this private information. Instead, that is talked about in Alex's speech, which it was in the book as well, I believe, though I think they make it a little hard, maybe a little, emphasize it a little more in Alex's speech to kind of make up for the fact that they're not emphasizing it from other sources. I think the point gets across and it works, but I do miss that sort of, I wish, it, since they completely got rid of the podcast talking about it, I wish, like, when Joy Reid is talking to the other reporter about this story and stuff, I wish she had more explicitly had a line where she's bringing up the ethics of having these things drop in the first place. Should we even be talking about it? Is this actually something that is, you know, quote unquote politics, that kind of thing? I really do think that that would have been nice to have that more explicitly put out there about how kind of gross it is. But part of why maybe that didn't happen in the movie is because in the book, we find out the Richards campaign dropped it, so it becomes this political thing of, like, what this one campaign did to the other, and the ethics of all of that gets a little more real, I suppose. If it's just these things are out there, but it's not from the Richards campaign, then maybe it's not as politically relevant. I'm not sure. But I do kind of think that that is a point that they maybe dropped the ball on a little bit. I wish that had been emphasized a little bit more. And I've already talked about the fact that I do think the emails should still have been explicitly dropped from the Richards campaign. So I think there were some, as you can see, I like to nitpick. There are a lot of nitpicks. And I think I'm going to be done nitpicking now. And I'm going to go back to the good. The actors are fabulous. It's beautiful. The whole movie is beautifully done. The soundtrack is good. They kept a lot of really fun, important scenes. We got to meet David, the Henry's dog, who's named after David Bowie, which I'm really glad that that was kept. I am sad that they got rid of so many of the literary references to, you know, and they got rid of so many of the references of, you know, of the historical figures, both in America and England, you know, talking about the gay kings and talking about Alexander Hamilton and talking about all these things. I get why they cut it. Again, they simplified it. They got rid of a lot of the, I don't know, depth and interest that was in the book to make a very light and fluffy, fun movie, which I very much enjoyed watching and will watch again probably multiple times. So I don't want you to get the idea that I didn't like it, because I did. It's 5 stars, would recommend, fabulous, love it. And I still have lots to nitpick about it, as you can see, because I've been talking for like 30 minutes about all this stuff. But yeah, it's a great movie. I had a really fun time with it. Highly recommend. It's great. And there are still, and while there are problems, I think it overall works really well as a movie with pretty few flubs. I just said I was done nitpicking and another thought came to me though. So I'm going to nitpick again. At the end of the movie, Alex and Henry are at the party where, you know, where, well, the campaign event. They're waiting to find out whether his mother won re-election or not. And in the book, they make it very explicit that he has this really cool, like, Gucci red jacket with red, white, and blue on the, I think on the, either on the lapel or maybe on the cuffs, the arms. Either way, he was not wearing a cool jacket like that at the party, and I wish that he was wearing something a little more flamboyant. I think in the book they talk more about him having some of these flamboyant, I don't know, clothing options or choices that for whatever reason he doesn't have in the movie. And, you know, in the movie at that last scene, I believe he's just wearing a black suit, kind of similar to what he's been wearing throughout. And they don't have him wearing his cool red, white, and blue blazer. And again, opportunity missed. Why is he not wearing cool clothes? His jacket at the New Year's Eve party, lots of fun. I'm glad they did that. But why is he not wearing, like, in the book, they make this whole thing about how he's planning to wear something, you know, just a gray or black or blue standard boring suit to the party. And I think it's June, it might be Nora, who comes to him and is like, "How dare you wear something fun?" And they, you know, pull out this jacket from his closet, and he's now wearing, you know, this cool, this really over-the-top Gucci jacket. And I wish they had done more of that. That would have been cool. Or I wish they would have done that and had him wear a statement jacket in that scene. I would have loved that. So I found his suit, I mean, he looked really nice in it, but it was a little boring. I would have liked more of that fun suit jacket. Okay, now I think I'm probably done nitpicking. You never know with me. In any case, their love story was fabulous. The chemistry between the two characters was really good. It is R-rated. There are sex scenes, and I think that they were done well. You know, nothing too crazy, but it was done well. Nothing that you wouldn't see in any other random rom-com for the most part. It obviously is not porn, but it's relatively explicit. You know that they are having sex, and it's fine. And they did a good job with all of that. I thought it worked really well. And they end the movie the exact same way that they end the book, which is pretty abrupt, where they just ride off on bikes to his old house in Austin, Alex's old home, and he uses his key to get in. In this case, we don't know where they got the bikes. In the book, it is explained where they got the bikes, but they cut the character where Alex would have gotten the bikes from. So I don't know where he got these bikes. He stole someone's bikes. It's unclear. But they just end like by going into the house and he's showing off the house, and then that's the end of the movie. And that's how the book ends too, so it's very true to the book. But not the most satisfying ending ever, in my opinion, for either the book or the movie. So maybe that's a critique I have of the book even, that it's just kind of an abrupt end. We're done now. There is a special edition that came out later with an extra chapter that does go on for more of an epilogue of like what happens later on in their life going forward. And I wish that they had maybe done something with that, of having like some future scenes of them together. They wouldn't have to do the whole thing, but even just during the credits, having some extra scenes of them like kind of going forward and having a life together, like is from that epilogue chapter, that final chapter that was written in the special edition. I'm not sure if that came out after this was all filmed. I really have no idea what the timing of all of that was. Whether they would have had access to it or not when they were writing the screenplay, probably not. So that would explain why they just ended the way the book originally ended without all those extras. And it's fine, but just something I noted that I would have loved to see some like little extra stuff. Would have been fun. What they do have at the end of the credits is what I will say is make sure you watch through the credits because they have a little bonus scene at the end, which was super cute. It's back to the very beginning of the movie, the cake scene again. It has Alex and Henry in lying on the floor covered in cake, and Alex just says, "Do you think anyone noticed?" whispering. And Henry just kind of has a little like, flummoxed attack next to him. It was cute and funny, and I liked it. So, if you watch the movie, you should definitely watch the end and watch that little extra scene as well, because why not? It works and it's beautiful. So, I guess I'm going to stop rambling now. That is the end of what I've got to say. Love this movie. Definitely recommend it. Go watch it. It's light and fluffy and fun. And if you enjoy it, then definitely go read the book because the book is fabulous and has a lot more plot and depth and interest to it because they cut a lot to make this movie. The movie itself is still fabulous and works as a movie, but I'm just saying they cut a lot of information that you can get from the book itself if you wanted to go read the book. I think they are both great things that you should interact with, both of them, because they are both good in different ways and chef's kiss, love it all. Highly recommend. And I had a really good time watching it. So that is what I've got for you today. Let me know what you think. Have you watched this movie? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Have you read the book? What do you think of this movie as a movie? What do you think of this movie as an adaptation? Because those are two different things, right? It can be a great movie and a horrible adaptation, or vice versa. In this case, I think it's a good version of both. It's a good adaptation and a good movie. And it's a pretty faithful adaptation, honestly. But I mean, there were changes. Every movie has to change from a book, and I don't think there's any way to really do it beat by beat without turning it into a full-on miniseries and having hours and hours like they did for the 6-hour Pride and Prejudice miniseries. And I would love it if they would do something like that for all of my favorite books, including this one. But for what it is, it was a really, I think, faithful, good adaptation, and it works as a good movie. So I'm very happy. I'm very pleased with how this went. And I hope it does really well. So I really would love it if you went out and watched it, because I want this movie to get good numbers. I want it to do well, because I would love for them to make more movies off of these things, including the other two Casey McQuiston books. If both of them got made into movies, I wouldn't be sad about it. So that would be a lot of fun. And hopefully things like that can happen. And now I will really be done. So thanks you all for listening, and I will see you next time. Bye!